Very good morning to each and every one of you. The Lord certainly has blessed us bountifully this morning, allowing us to be here together to worship Him as a group of His people. To our guests here this morning, thank you especially for being here. Thank you for encouraging us. I hope that you have been encouraged by what we have done together thus far. And I hope that our considerations this morning from the Word of God will uplift us all in our lives as we strive to live for Him. If you're looking for a church family, I encourage you to consider this one. If you don't have a church family that encourages you on a weekly basis, that you are a part of to help you get through the difficulties of life, to serve Him, please consider this church. Talk to our shepherds. I'm sure they'd love to talk to you about things going on here at Pleasant Plains. I'd like to begin at Psalm number 40, please. The 40th Psalm and verses 1 through 5. Psalm number 40 and verses 1 through 5. My Bible titles this Psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving and a cry for help for the choir director, a psalm of David. David writes in the psalm, Psalm 40, beginning in verse 1, that I waited patiently for the Lord, and He turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and they will trust in the Lord. How happy is anyone who has put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Lord my God, You have done many things. Your wondrous works and Your plans for us, none can compare with You. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. Though he was considered to be one of the greatest men of Israel to ever live, if not the greatest man of Israel to ever live, King David was not someone who was unfamiliar with the difficulties of life. Yes, he was a man whose throne would be eternally established within Israel through God's grace and providence, but he was also the same man who was hunted nearly to the point of death by King Saul, a man who he had sworn his total allegiance to. He suffered the loss of a child as a result of his own mistakes, and he would even go on to suffer the heartache of having one of his own sons try to usurp his throne from him. Though blessed in many ways, David knew what it was like to face the difficulties of life and to feel the sting of loss in various ways. And perhaps it was those experiences, the highs and lows in betweens, maybe that is what allowed David to be so skilled in being able to write psalms that focus on this idea of crying to God for help when facing difficulties, when needing deliverance, and then also exclaiming within the same psalms great thanksgivings to God. At least 15, by my count, at least 15 of the psalms found within the Psalter that we have within our New Testament are noted as being from David, but also focusing on these ideas of crying for help, crying for deliverance, and then giving praise to God. And there are a number of psalms beyond that focus on these same ideas that are not noted as being written by David. And this simply leads me to the conclusion that it is a natural thing for people, kings included, for people to take time to write concerning everything that God has done for us in our times of difficulty during this life. Even men within modern times have taken to write songs that echo these same ideas. Maybe one of the first ones that comes to your mind is the song, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. A song that clearly states the understanding that God is the fountain from whom all blessings flow. And then we ought to be a people who then reciprocate those blessings with great, great exclaimings of thanksgiving. And yet the song that we just sang together that Billy led for us, I appreciate that so much. It adds another layer to these ideas of deliverance and thanksgiving. And it is the layer where we think about the fact that especially during times of difficulty, we ought to be a people who don't just go to God for help, but recognize that God has been helping us, is helping us, and will continue to help us as we struggle in this life. this lesson is going to carry on some lessons that we do from time to time. When we talk about being able to sing songs with the understanding of what they truly mean, I want to take a deep dive into the song "Count Your Many Blessings" this morning. It is an old song, a very, very old song. Don't believe anybody here was around in 1897, but that is whenever this song was written, and it was extremely popular all over the, or it has become extremely popular all over the world, but especially within Great Britain. The man who wrote this song was a man by the name of Johnson Oatman Jr. And within the land of Great Britain, there are a couple of quotes from people during the early days of this song that really caught my attention. Number one, one person described this song as being a beam of sunlight that has brightened up the darkest places of the earth. Another person that wrote for the Daily London many years ago said, "In South London, the men sing it, the boys whistle it, and the women rock their babies to sleep on this hymn." What is it about this hymn that allows people to have such high regard for it? What is it that this hymn teaches us? Because we have to recognize that's what our songs ought to do. Our songs ought not just be random thoughts and musings, but they ought to teach us something, that we sing with the understanding that we're teaching and admonishing and encouraging one another. What does this particular song do for us? That's why I want to consider this morning. Of course, I want to do that because it is Thanksgiving week. It is a time whenever our minds are already on the idea of being thankful. And maybe this week you need some encouragement. Maybe this week you need some encouragement because things in your life are not as great as you feel like they ought to be. Maybe you're at a low point in your life. Maybe you are struggling, as this song talks about. And that's how the song is arranged. You probably noticed as we've sung the song that the three verses, it begins with a problem. It begins with a problem that paints a picture of the type of problem that we are experiencing. And then the second half of the verse then gives the solution. That's how we're going to consider this song this morning, looking at the problems first all together, and then looking at the prescribed solutions that are given to us by Mr. Oatman within the song, which very much echo biblical principles that can help us as we not only experience difficulties, but learn how to count our blessings even within those times of difficulty. You might notice that the first picture that is kind of painted for us is one of someone who was on a boat in the middle of water of some sort, and there's a great storm that is breaking all around them. And the problem that we see within this is that sometimes we simply become discouraged by the difficult circumstances of life. Now, sometimes we get in situations where things just are not looking very good. In fact, things look like they might be taking a turn for the worse. But if you're like me, then you might have thought of Mark chapter 4 and verses 35 through 41, where Jesus and His apostles are on the boat there on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus, the text tells us, is actually asleep on the boat. And while He is asleep on the boat, the text tells us in Mark chapter 4 that a great storm comes up. A great windstorm arose, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. And the waves, the text tells us, were breaking over the boat. Boats during this time did not have huge sides. More likely this was a fishing boat, so the sides would have been very low so that they could pull the nets of fish up into the boat. So the waves, the text tells us, are breaking on every side, so much so that the boat was already being swamped. It was taking on water. And He, being Jesus, was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke Him up and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" Now, none of us have been in a boat that is being literally beaten down by waves while Jesus sits in the corner. Maybe we actually have been in a boat that's in a bad storm like this, but Jesus has never been on the boat there with us. And yet I'm sure there are times within our lives where most of us, if not all of us, have found ourselves being beaten down on every side. We are experiencing the waves of life. And the waves keep coming, and maybe they grow stronger. Maybe they become more intense. And we look around in our lives and we see our life continuing just to take on water. We're taking on more and more water. And we're sinking further and further down, and we just don't see how we're ever going to get out of the situation. We don't see how there is any possibility that we are going to escape this situation unscathed. There is no way that we're going to come out the other side. Maybe we find ourselves in a situation where we can sympathize with Job and the situation that he experienced in Job 1 and verses 13 through 19, where he lost all of his possession of oxen and sheep, camels, servants, and worst of all, his children. And while I would hope that none of us have ever experienced that exact same situation, where the loss is to that extreme, I recognize that for us personally, in those moments, that doesn't lessen the feelings of hurt or pain that we experience as we are being tossed about by the waves of life. Maybe our sufferings are different. Maybe it is the loss of loved ones, though. Maybe it's the loss of good health, friendships, financial means, comforts, reputation. Maybe the loss of trust. Maybe it's some combination of these things and other things we can experience in this life that are negative situations. Maybe we've been in that situation where we are just discouraged. If that's been you in the past, put yourself there again. Just think about how your mindset was in that moment. Is it not in those moments where real doubt can begin to creep into our minds? But not just doubt, not just discouragement, but also worry and anxiety that come from these circumstances. When upon us bills you're a tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. That third verse, so did the conflict, whether great or small. Sometimes the discouragement comes, of course, when the situations are the worst. And sometimes it might just be a small circumstance. Yet whether the conflict, as the song says, whether the circumstance, whether the situation, whether it might be small, whether it might be great, the reality is that we worry. We are concerned in those types of situations. We stress about the outcome of those situations. We might worry what will be our outcome. We might worry what will be other people's outcome. It might not even be ourselves that are in the difficult situation. Maybe it's somebody that we love. And because we love them so much and we care so much for them, our hearts are heavy for them. Well, I think we have to recognize that these types of worry, concern, even maybe anxiety to a point, those are natural portions of this life. Those come whenever we care. If we cared for nothing, then we would not worry. We would not be concerned. But because we do care, we experience these things. You know, Jesus even did. Jesus experienced this type of concern, this type of worry. And I think about it specifically when it comes to what happened just prior to Him being betrayed. In John chapters 13 through 17, we see Jesus, I believe, in a moment where He is concerned. Where He is experiencing worry. He knows what is about to come. And there's a reason He went to God and said, Lord, if it is possible, let this pass from me. He knew what He was about to experience. He also knew what His apostles were about to experience. He knew that they were going to be scattered like sheep. He knew that they were going to be discouraged. And yet what is great about seeing Jesus in these same circumstances that we sometimes find ourselves in is that He actually handled them the right way. That Jesus didn't allow for the worry or the concern to control Him. But instead, they allowed Him, they pushed Him to go to where He needed to go, which was to God. If anyone stands as an example of what you do in a time of distress, it's Jesus. You go to God. And yet we don't often do that. Sometimes we fail in that regard. Sometimes whenever we are discouraged. Sometimes whenever we are weighed down by a load of care. Maybe sometimes whenever as the song says, our cross seems too heavy to bear. Maybe it's at those moments that we run into another problem. That problem being that we begin to see our faith as maybe not being worth the struggle. Because sometimes we recognize that we struggle because of our faith. That sometimes whenever it comes to Jesus and being His disciple, and whenever we come into this relationship with Him, and we recognize we come there saying, Lord, send us where you will. And the place He sends us isn't something that we necessarily want to go. But yeah, we go anyways. And because we're willing to go, we actually end up suffering in some sort of way. What do we do in those situations? Do we ever feel as if, I don't know if this is worth it or not? You know, we might think that that is simply a sign of spiritual immaturity. Maybe we see that as a sign of just not being as strong as we ought to be, but I don't believe that's the case at all. Would you consider someone like the prophet Elijah? In 1 Kings chapter 19, this great prophet of God, I think, found himself in this situation. He has just been threatened by the wicked King Jezebel. She threatens his life, says, I'm going to kill you. And so he takes off running. He's scared. He's terrified. He doesn't want to die. He leaves and he goes out into the wilderness. And he begs God in the wilderness, Lord, just take my life. I see a man there that's discouraged. I see a man there that is weighed down by the load of care that he is carrying. I see a man there that's struggling in his faith. It's just not worth it. Yet the Lord gives him an angel that ministers to him a number of times. And eventually he makes a 40-day trek to Horeb, to Mount Sinai. And the Lord appears to Elijah there in 1 Kings chapter 19. And he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And this is Elijah's response. He says, Lord, I have been very jealous for the God of armies. But the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. And they are looking to take my life. 1 Kings 19 and verse 10. You might wonder, how strongly did Elijah feel in this regard? So strong that he, in fact, says the exact same thing again just a few verses later. Elijah was hurting. He was discouraged. He was worn down. He was not sure if the zeal that he had for God could sustain him. He did not know if the zeal he had for God was worth it at this very moment. Have you been there before? Could you say that these problems that we've highlighted are problems that you have experienced? Maybe you've experienced one at a time. Maybe you felt the full weight of all three issues at once. Now we've been wrecked by storms, weighed down by worry and concern, maybe even to the point of questioning whether our faith is worth the struggle that we are enduring. Mr. Oatman recognized these issues, but he also recognized some very strong solutions to these experiences that are common to the people of God. And he wanted, through this song that we sing again just a few moments ago, he wanted to encourage those who are weighed down, who are discouraged, who are struggling. And that's why he gives such great words of encouragement that begin at the end of that third line. Do not be discouraged, he says. God is overall. Well, how is God overall? He says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Where's His emphasis in these lines? Where's the solution? He says, well, it begins with just taking time to count the blessings. Take the time to count the blessings that you enjoy in your life, even during these moments of great discouragement, even in the moments when you're weighed down, even in the moments where you feel as if faith is not worth it. Count your blessings, and in doing so, you will recognize that God is with you. and that He has blessed you, and that He is blessing you, and that He will bless you. We'll talk about that more in just a second. Just think about the examples that we looked to up to this point. Think about the first example of the disciples in the boat in Mark chapter 4. The parallel text is in Matthew chapter 8. Mark chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 8, what takes place with them in the boat comes directly following Jesus doing some incredible things. Number one, He healed Peter's mother-in-law of great fever by simply touching her with His hand. And then following that, they see Jesus casting out demons, and they see Him healing many other sicknesses. Now, I understand that the waves were rocking. I understand that the wind was blowing. I understand that the boat was taking on water. But did they not recognize who was already in the boat? The one who called out the demons. The one who healed the sickness. They should have understood that this was nothing for Jesus, which is why He stands up and He rebukes them. Oh, ye of little faith! And that's why He's able to turn to the storm and tell it to hush. They shouldn't have been astonished. They had seen His power already. Yes, the situation was difficult, but they missed the blessing that was in the boat. And that being the fact that Jesus was with them at that very moment. Job is certainly another example of someone who suffered greatly, but he, in that moment, recognized the blessings that God had given him. He hears the horrible news of everything that he has had nearly being taken from him. And in dramatic fashion, or traumatic fashion. And yet, whenever Job hears this, the text tells us in Job 1 and verse 20, that Job took, that he stood up and then he tore his robe, he shaved his head, and he fell to the ground. Everybody says, that makes complete sense. I get that. That's what I would probably do as well. Yet what he does following that is that he worships. Why does he worship? Because he recognized the blessings that he had already. He says, naked I came from my mother's womb. I had nothing. When I came from my mother's womb, I had nothing. And naked I will leave this life. I will leave with nothing. But the Lord gives. I came in with nothing. I'm leaving with nothing. Everything I have in the meantime, the Lord gives. And if He gives, He has the right to take away. Blessed be His name, whether He gives or whether He takes. That was Job's mindset. Jesus recognized this as well. He was suffering difficulties. He knew what was coming for Himself. He knew what was coming for His closest friends. And yet He also knew the Spirit was coming for them. He knew that the Spirit was coming for them. And God, in His moment of distress, gave His Son an angel to minister to him. And then let's not forget the fact that Jesus is in the garden praying, pouring out His soul to God. Lastly, Elijah. He was so focused on the struggle that he was currently facing that he forgot the victory that God had just given him over the prophets of Baal. How many he had killed. He didn't think about the fact that only had Jezebel told him she was going to kill him that she didn't actually get to. He forgot the fact that God had sent the angel to minister to him to give him food. And he wasn't aware of the fact that God was going to bless him with the fact that He was about to give him 7,000 men who were not going to bow the knee to Baal. In every single one of these instances where people were discouraged, where they were weighed down, where they were struggling, there were blessings to be found. But too often, the people in the moment, they were only focused on the struggle, not on what God was doing. And it simply goes to show us that we can find God's blessings in every single situation. everyone, we can find a blessing that God has given us. And even in the darkest moments, even in the darkest moments when it does seem as if we have nothing going for us, we need to remember we do have at least one thing going for us. We need to remember the words of Paul and Peter. Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5. The words that they share with us that remind us of our ability to go to God in prayer. To go to Him and to spill our soul before Him. To tell everything that is wrong. And to put our faith, confidence, and trust in Him. Don't worry about anything, Philippians 4 and verse 6. But in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peter echoes those thoughts. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on Him, because He cares about you. Friends, in those times where the light seems dimmest, we must remember that the light is still there. And the light is still there because if we are struggling in our faith, if we are striving to be faithful and yet we're still suffering, God is with us. And He cares for us. He wants to give us peace. He wants to comfort our hearts. Yet we're only going to gain that peace, we're only going to gain that comfort by casting it all upon Him. Trusting fully in Him. Believing that He will carry us through. That He will strengthen us into the end. And when we recognize those blessings, then it's going to fill us with joy. It's going to fill us with confidence. Fill us with great joy and confidence. Count your many blessings. Count your many blessings. Count your many blessings. What happens whenever we name them one by one? Number one, we're going to be surprised what God has done for us. In the moment of difficulty, when we pause and begin to count blessings, we're going to be reminded that God is with us. And when we are reminded that God is with us, then the doubts will fly. The song says we will be singing as the days go by. The worries, the concerns, the anxieties, the pains, those things will be gone. And we will gain strength and comfort from the Lord who is with us. And this song and Psalm 40 go so well together. Now this doesn't mean though that the pains and the struggles, all the negatives, that they're just going to be gone and never seen again. No, it doesn't mean that the pain is gone forever. It doesn't mean the worry is gone forever. But what it does do, it ought to fill us with confidence to know that there is someone who seeks to hold us up when we despair. There is someone who has strength that He wants to give us to cope with the struggles we are facing. And to know that we have someone who wants to strengthen us, that ought to fill us with such great joy. Such great joy to know that God does care for me. And that He does desire to strengthen me. That He will not leave me. He will not forsake me. That all those things, all those benefits are mine if I will humble myself before Him. We were talking in the middle school class today about King Ahaz. He was a wicked man. A mightily wicked man. And because of his wickedness, the Lord gave him over into the hands of many of his enemies, the people of Aram, the people of Israel, Assyria. And yet, as Ahaz and his kingdom were being beaten down on every side, instead of doing as this text tells us, and humbling himself before God, and repenting, and seeking His strength and His aid, what does he do? He goes and he offers sacrifices to the false gods. He didn't humble himself before the Lord God of heaven. No, he was prideful and he was arrogant. And that only led to his further demise. Friends, that cannot be us. Sometimes we suffer by our own doing. In those moments, humble ourselves. Sometimes we suffer just because that's the broken nature of this world. And that's what Satan desires for us because he wants us to be defeated. Friends, in that moment, humble yourselves before the Lord. No matter the reason for our suffering, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in, there's only one true thing to do. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Recognize that His will is for me to be faithful. His will is for me to overcome. And if I trust in Him, that is exactly what I will do. That He will set my feet on a rock. He will firmly establish my steps. And He will put a new song in my mouth. That's what David believed in Psalm 40. Brethren, that's what we have to believe as well. I want to finish with the ending from Psalm 40, beginning in verse 14. Psalm 40, beginning in verse 14. Let those who intend to take my life be disgraced and confounded. Let those who wish me harm be turned back and humiliated. Let those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled because of their shame. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation continually say, the Lord is great. I am oppressed and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my helper and my deliverer. My God, do not delay. As I imagine David writing those words, he didn't write those words hoping they would come true. He wrote those words with full confidence, knowing that they are true. That God is his helper. And that he is his deliverer. That he will destroy the wicked who taunt and persecute and strive to humiliate his people. He will be with us in the midst of struggles. That's the truth. That's the truth given to us by God's Spirit. And it is a truth that we are reminded of as we sing songs such as Count Your Many Blessings. I hope that this lesson and these considerations have reminded us to be ever faithful, even in the midst of trials, remembering that the Lord is good and that He has blessed us and that He is blessing us and that He will continue to bless us as we humble ourselves before Him, as we strive to be His people. May we continually count our blessings. May we name them one by one. May we count those blessings and always be mindful of what the Lord has done.